Everybody in this world goes through problems and situations and trials and tribulations. But the Lord is with us. That's the difference between us and the world. The world has nobody, but we got Jesus. And then we're supposed to have the body of Christ, other brothers and sisters that can lift up our hands and pray for us.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul has spent almost 50 years learning to trust the Lord even in life's hardest seasons. Communion with Christ has helped Raul overcome the pain of an abusive childhood, a failing marriage, and PTSD. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD of Raul's story. Today's message from Raul takes us back to our series in 1 Peter. If you're going through a season of suffering, you'll be comforted to remember that Christ Himself is with you, and He knows what it feels like to walk through the fire. Stay with us for encouragement to humble yourself and trust in the Lord's goodness as He somehow uses your trials for good. We'll start today in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. Here's Raul Reese.
In chapter 4, verse 12 of 1 Peter, the observation was how to deal with trials as Christians. Because immediately there are people on television and radio, they will tell you that if you're a real Christian, Christians don't suffer. Christians only prosper. That's baloney. That's a doctrine from hell. If you become a Christian, God will give you money. God will give you power. God will give you a new car. All you have to do is have enough faith. Baloney. Be careful of such people. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. They're lying to you. If Jesus suffered, why should we not suffer? And He was God. He was the example. And we follow that example. We are going to suffer. We are going to get sick. We are going to be prosecuted and persecuted. And we are going to die one day. Some sooner than others. You have to understand that. So he starts out with this beautiful word, beloved, which is in reference to Christian suffering. Beloved, do not think it's strange or don't think it's weird, in modern language, concerning your fiery trials when you're persecuted for your faith, which is to try you or to test you as though some weird thing has happened to you. Look how beautiful that is. Don't think it's weird if you get cancer. Don't think it weird. I told my wife, don't think it's weird. She got cancer. Don't think it weird if you lose a young one. Don't think it weird if something happens to you personally or somebody in your family or one of your friends, because this is a world of suffering. Why? Because of sin. From the beginning, Adam and Eve, our first parents, sinned in the Garden of Eden. This is a fallen world, not a perfect world. We will be in a perfect world one day. We only live a short time here. We're pilgrims and strangers in this world. The Bible says that. So here Peter is beginning to what? To build up the body of Christ. He's talking to those that are going to be prosecuted, persecuted, and eventually killed, including himself. And his wife would sit aside and watch Peter as Peter would be crucified upside down. Because he said this, "I'm not worthy to die like my master Jesus." Imagine that. How about us tonight? What are you facing tonight in your personal life? Every one of us, something is going on in our lives. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially. Every one of us. But it's amazing how the Lord never fails. In my weakness, I've become stronger in Him. Because apart from Him, I can't do nothing. I'm dependent more on Jesus Christ today than I ever was. And we need to be like that. More than ever before. And teach our children and teach our grandchildren to really be dependent on Jesus Christ. For He's the only one that can help us. He's the only one that can pull you out of the pit. He's the only one that can take away your depression. Whatever your problem may be. And some people will come to you and say, the reason that you're sick is because there's sin in your life. Don't believe it. A life in the pit of hell. And imagine how Peter must have felt, because now he tells you what to do with your trials. You don't cry. You don't murmur. You don't complain. Look what he says in verse 13 now. He says, when you have trials and you're going through the fire, you don't scream, you don't yell, you don't cry. You do what? You rejoice. How can you rejoice? Look what he says. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. What is he saying? When you're going through it, remember one thing. Jesus was the one first to go through it. Rejoice because he's with you. He's in the fire with you. Remember in Daniel chapter 3 where the Hebrew children, Daniel's friends, three of them, got thrown into the fire by Nebuchadnezzar. And before they heated up the oven, remember they said, because he was saying, okay, you guys, we're going to blow the clarinet. And when we blow it, everybody has to bow to Nebuchadnezzar as God. Daniel's friends never bowed down to the image, 90-foot image the king had put together is a type of the Antichrist, 90-foot statue. He said, okay, we're going to give him a second chance. The next time the clarinet blows and the trumpets, you're going to bow down and worship. And when they blew the trumpets, everybody went down in compromise except for the three. And when they did not compromise, the king got so angry. He says, I want you to heat up the oven 7 times hotter than it's ever been. And I want you to tie these guys up and throw them in the fire. They tied them up. And the guys that took them to throw them inside, they threw them into the fire. And the guys that threw them in outside of the fire, they got barbecued. And the three Hebrews were in the fire. And all of a sudden, the king looks into the fire and sees four men, one like the Son of God. When you go into the fire, who's with you in the fire? Jesus. And King Nebuchadnezzar freaked out. He said, Abednego, Meshach, and Shadrach, please come out here. I want to talk to you. And they came out. They're all tied up, bouncing out. They came out. And it says they never smell like being in the fire. And they said, hey, what in the world was going on? And they were conversing with who? With Jesus in the fire. He protected them. And then what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? He became a believer when he saw that. You see, people are watching your life. They're watching my life. And it's not by our preaching that people come to know Jesus Christ. It's when you're in the fire. It's when your life will be approved. When you're under pressure, how do you respond? And it's not perfection, because listen, we all blow it. I've blown it many, many times. I don't have the patience sometimes. But it's really important to know that if God is for me, then who can be against me? What does he say to us? He says, rejoice. Rejoice. Notice what he says. To what? To the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. Now check this out. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Because this brings us to the Beatitudes. It's really cool. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 5, verse 1. Here's Jesus doing the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7. He starts out, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he had seated down, his disciples came to him. And then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed "Oh, how happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Who's that? The poor in spirit. Those that emptied themselves out. Those that come to repentance. Secondly, he starts out with three negatives. The rest are positive. Then he says this, verse 4. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Now check what he says. Blessed are those that mourn. What does the word mourn mean? The word to mourn means to mourn over your sinful condition. Be ashamed of it. Don't be proud of it. Like when somebody dies, what do? We cry, we mourn for the dead. We should mourn for our sins, man, because our sins almost send us to hell. And God rescued us. He brought us out of hell before we would ever die. So he's bringing in the characteristics of a Christian here in the Sermon on the Mount. Look what else he says. He goes on. Verse 5. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." What is the word meek? The humble, not the proud. What else does he say? He comes back. Look. He says, "Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for what? For righteousness." For righteousness. These are the people of God. We're not hungering and thirsting for MTV and for pornography and sin. But as we become Christians, as we become believers now, we have a new nature, we have a new life, we have a new mind, a new type of hearing. Holy hands, holy feet, holy mouth, holy speech. Very important. God brings us to these places so that we can not only be effective in the world, so that we can be like salt and light. In the Old Testament, the salt was used as a preservative for what? Because they had no refrigeration, no ice cubes. So they would take and salt the steak so that it wouldn't spoil. It preserved it. Salt also creates a thirst. And then salt also, when it was no longer good for anything, they would take it and cast it out into the paths so that the actual salt will burn the grass and it would make a path for people to walk on. Jesus says, don't lose your salt. You're the salt of the world. You're a light on a hill for everybody to see. You can really see it in Israel when you go to the Sea of Galilee at night and you see that light shine across the Sea of Galilee. Beautiful illustration. It's amazing how this whole thing is done. And then he says what? Look at the next one. "Blessed are the merciful." I'll skip that one because I had a hard problem with that one. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be" what? "Obtain mercy." And then 8. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted," check this out, "for righteousness' sake." You're not persecuted because you're weird. Okay? You're being persecuted because you're righteousness, which means what? You're living the life of Christ and people hate you. Happy are you. Because you're living up to the standards of God's word. You're not like the world. You're not in the world. Yes, we are in the world, but we're not of the world, the Bible says. What else? Check this out. He says, "Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely." For who? My sake. When people put you down and they put your Lord down, don't worry about it. When they put you down, they're putting Jesus down. We are Christians. Be happy, he says. You don't fight back. What else does he say? Check this out. Verse 12. Here's your attitude. Rejoice. Oh, is that what he says in verse 13? Look. "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward." Where? In heaven. "For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Isn't that incredible? The people before us in the Old Testament, like Daniel, Amos, Habakkuk, all the Old Testament prophets, what do? They killed them and stoned them. Isaiah was sawn in half. Think about that. It's incredible how the Bible speaks to our hearts. Why? Because the Bible says what? You have to be like Christ. We have to be more like Christ every day. Otherwise, how do we affect the world? We can't. So if you're going through something tonight, everybody in this world goes through problems and situations and trials and tribulations. But the Lord is with us. That's the difference between us and the world. The world has nobody. Nobody. But we got Jesus. And then we're supposed to have the body of Christ, other brothers and sisters that can lift up our hands and pray for us. And be with us in the fire. And go through the fire. That's what Peter is teaching the church. You guys, I know they're going to kill you. I know they're going to burn you. I know they're going to cut you in half. But remember one thing. Rejoice because Jesus is with you. The Lord is with you. Go back again. Look what he says in Peter, verse 13. He says, but rejoice to the extent, or literally to the degree, that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Isn't that interesting? This is the right attitude that we're supposed to have as Christians. That is, I suffer for Jesus Christ, then the reward is not here. The reward is in glory at the second coming of Jesus Christ. I'm going to receive a reward according to Matthew 24, 29 through 31. When Jesus Christ comes again, we are coming with him. When we get to heaven, we're going to have new bodies. We're going to be rewarded. And so we have to remember that this world is fragile, this world is temporal, but the world to come is eternal. And think of all our loved ones and friends that do not know Christ like we know him. If they die tonight, they will go to hell. And those that have cancer, and those that are going, losing their jobs, they have no money, they have nothing to back them up, and they have nothing to really look forward to, and yet we have Christ. No matter what happens. And what's amazing as you look at this great chapter, think what he says here, Christ's sufferings, it's necessary for the Christian life. It's a blessed privilege to suffer. It's never in vain. And it's always an example to who? To others. To come to Christ. When we suffer, we don't murmur, we don't complain. Man, I've seen people suffer, man. I've been in the dying in their bed. And they're, I mean, horrible cancer. And yet they're smiling and they're looking to Jesus coming for them. Under pressure. And I've seen non-believers die. And I've heard non-believers say, my feet are on fire. I'm burning. They're not even in hell yet. It's really important that we understand that every one of us here will get sick. Every one of us go through trials and temptations. And everybody here is going to die one day. Unless the rapture comes, then we won't die. We'll be with the Lord. But I think it's important that as we read the scriptures, we believe what God says in his word. Because what happens here now is very important. As you're looking at this, Peter again is doing what? He's remembering. He's remembering and reminding his own taste of persecution, trials that he's facing in his own life before and after. In chapter 5 of the book of Acts, when he started, when he became empowered by the Holy Spirit, check this out. This is what it says. Chapter 5 of Acts 14 to 41, he says, and then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, Peter, notice, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. They laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. And at night, an angel of the Lord came, opened the prison doors, brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and they taught. But the high priest and those with him that came with him called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to prison to have them brought. Imagine, they're going to go get Peter and James and all these guys are in prison, but they're not there. The angel let them out at night. Let them out at night. What is he telling you? God can send an angel if he wants to. He did at this particular moment to demonstrate the power of God so they could preach to the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and the scribes to demonstrate the power of God. So Peter knows what he's saying. Why? Because when we think of persecution, we must never forget that God is allowing this in each one of our lives. To do what? To mold you, to break you, and to make you into his image. To make you more like him. That's the bottom line. To make you more like him. Matthew 5:11, remember what it said? Blessed are you when they revile you, persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Be happy. Rejoice. Rejoice. Very important to rejoice. And then think about the persecution that causes many men to deny the Lord, but at the same time, what does it do to you? Number one, it causes what? A man's sinful nature to not only be demonstrated. You really find out what you're made of when you're going through persecution or an illness. Then you know the real person. Otherwise, you can't try that person.
We pray you've been encouraged with today's reminder that no matter what you're going through, you are not alone. Christ is with you in those trials. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's message, we'll send you an unedited copy for a donation of any amount. Our phone number is 800-634-9165. And when you make your request, just ask for the latest lesson from Raul's 1 Peter series. To further equip you to navigate life's trials in step with Christ, we'd like to offer you a helpful resource. Raul's 4-CD audio pack titled Walking in the Flesh explores the dangers of trying to live purely in your own understanding and strength and provides biblical insight into how you can avoid common spiritual pitfalls. This series also offers spiritual encouragement to pursue all that God desires for you as you choose to follow Him with unreserved trust and devotion. Get in touch with us to order Raul's 4-CD collection titled Walking in the Flesh. To make your purchase, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. And we'll be glad to send you this audio pack for a gift of just $19 or more. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order by writing, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. For continual spiritual support from all of us here at Somebody Loves You Radio, be sure to follow us on Instagram. Our daily photos and video clips will keep God's power at the forefront of your mind as you celebrate His work in and through this ministry. We'd like to remind you that Raul and his wife Sharon would also like to invite you to join them for an epic spiritual adventure retracing some of the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. This is a truly life-changing opportunity you won't want to miss. Start planning and saving to experience the 2019 Footsteps of Paul Cruise, with port stops at noteworthy locations like Corinth, Ephesus, and Patmos. The dates for the cruise are April 1st through April the 11th. More information is available at SomebodyLovesYou.com. Our goal is to edify believers and share the gospel with the lost. And your tax-deductible donations help us fulfill that mission and continue broadcasting the life-changing message of the gospel. Coming up next time on Somebody Loves Your Radio, we'll explore more truth from God's Word and discover new ways to honor Him with our lives. Here's Raul now with a final word from today's message.
It's really important that we understand that whatever happens in your life, my life, God's in control. And that God is going to do whatever He desires to do. Why? Because He loves you. He says rejoice to the extent that you're partaking of Christ's sufferings, which means you're in good company, that when His glory, the second coming of Christ, comes, is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. We'll be lifting our hands and praising the Lord, man. We're coming back in white horses, man, to the battle of Armageddon. We're coming back with our new bodies at the end of the 7-year tribulation period to set up the kingdom here on earth for 1,000 years. And God is preparing us. God is molding and shaping every one of us here, you guys, young and old. And I believe with all my heart that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I, God, from heaven, will hear. And what will He do? He'll pour out His Spirit. Why? Because He loves you and He loves me. And I believe that this is a movement of the Holy Spirit, this church right now. And in other churches too, not just this church. And I think it's really important tonight that as before we leave here tonight, that we make our minds up for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.